The book of Matthew, Matanyahu, chapter 5, verse 14. Whew, my goodness. Matanyahu, chapter 5, verse 14. These are the words of Yahushua, our Hamashiach, spoken to his Talmudim, which represent his disciples, his students, as he gave his first, what they said, sermon on the mountain. Verse 14, I'm trying to read it without getting too emotional, because it's heavy. Ye, oh my goodness. Are, that means you now, you, can you believe this? You are the light of the world. Wait, stop. Who did he say was the light?
We are.
Are you talking about me? And you? Oh, my goodness.
Hallelujah.
So the whole world is dependent upon me and you for light. That's too heavy for me. A city that is set on a hill, it's in the Bible, can't be hid. Neither do men, it's in the Bible, light a candle or a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. I mean, you don't light the menorah and then put a bowl over the menorah. No, you put the menorah on a candlestick. It's the Bible. And it gives light to all. That's where?
In the house.
We got two places to shine.
Glory.
It's in the city. Oh, I'm preaching. Yeah. I'm read preaching. I'm preach reading.
Okay.
In the city and in the house. Let your light, it's in the Bible, so shine. Let it shine before men. Why do I need my light to shine? That they, who? The men?
May see.
Because they can't see without light. And what will they see?
Good
your good works, which is the works of Torah. I'm preaching, I told you. And then give glory to who? And what's the name of your father? What's his name?
Yahweh.
And where is he?
Y'all
may be seated.
Amen.
That's my whole sermon. Y'all got it, didn't you?
Amen.
Don't you dare let these heathens make you ashamed of the fact that you are the light of the whole world. What are we talking about? This world is dark.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And there's always something very attractive about lights.
Amen.
Yeah. Everybody is attracted to the light. As a matter of fact, just on yesterday, I was hanging out with family. We talked about the lighting of the national Christmas tree. Y'all see that? Obama got up. Now, wait a minute. I thought we wasn't supposed to be pushing no religion in this country. I thought you were supposed to keep your religion to yourself. I didn't see him get up on Passover and say nothing. He didn't get up on Passover and say, all right, now we got to remember our Passover lamb, your Yahushua. And we're going to remember him by keeping the Passover. It begins today, and it's going to last for the next 7 days. And on the 8th day, we're going to celebrate again. Did he say that?
No.
Mm-mm. Even though they claim to be Judeo-Christian. Ain't that what he called himself? How about the Feast of the Unleavened Bread? Nope. How about the Feast of Wave Offering? Nope. First Fruit. How about the Feast of Shavuot? Did he get up and say, okay, today is the Feast of Shavuot. Everybody, let's get together and remember when Yah gave us our laws, rules, commandments, and statutes whereby we are governed. Nope. And then what about the Feast of Trumpet? He didn't holler about that. No press conference, no nothing. I'm going to get into this thing in a minute. And then we got the Day of Atonement. How come he didn't get up at the White House and say, today is the Day of Atonement? And y'all, as a nation, we done committed some horrible sins. We need to ask y'all for forgiveness and do some soul searching. No, not one press conference. And, I need some water. And then, on the actual birthday of our Hamasiah, which is the Feast of Tabernacle, when we are to remember his birth by getting together for 8 days and living in what they call Sukkotes, where we are to remember that the Word became, talk back to me, flesh and dwelt where? Among us. The day that we remember the Word becoming flesh and dwelling, come on, I ain't gonna move on until we all say that one. Until we remember, he just overlooked the day when our Savior became and did what? It's the Feast of Tabernacle. That's the whole feast. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Just like in the wilderness, they saw the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud at day. It was the beholding of his glory. Am I right, Sabri? Talk back there. They beheld his glory, and they knew that as long as they saw that pillar of fire, that pillar of cloud, that he was with them. Said, now don't ever forget, I'm with you always. He dwelt among us. That was the day Yahushua was born, and the 8th day was the day he was circumcised and became what we now call the Hebrew under Yah's laws by faith. 8 days old, before he knew his right hand from his left. His parents had him obeying Torah. Is there anybody so far in this sermon got some understanding? Just raise your hand. All right. But in order to attract us into this pagan festival of the worship of Tammuz, who is a demon, and his whore queen mother, who married her own son, they light lights. And lights are everywhere. Matter of fact, they get so attractive, make me want to ride down Christmas Tree Lane. I just want to see what them heathens gonna come up with this year. Amen. That would beat last year. Why do they do that? Because lighting is attractive. Light gets your attention. They had 8 reindeer. They had Dasher. And they had Prancer. Madonna and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, y'all know. But the problem was they didn't have not one reindeer with a light. So they created one. He's a Johnny come lately. They named him Rudolph, and they put a light on his nose. Y'all know the story? Maybe you don't know the story. He said, Rudolph, with your nose so bright. Who y'all pray I can get to this sermon? Won't you please God? Our slave tonight. And then how the reindeer loved him. Everybody loved him. Why? Because he let his light shine. Made it through the storm. Light is attractive. That's my point. Number one. It draws things out from darkness into it. And the master said, our master, the Hamashiach, said to his Talmudian, you and me, students of Torah, he said, you are now the light of the whole world. Wait a minute. You can't be talking about me. See, you can turn that word off. Number one, how am I the light when the Bible has already told us who the light is and what the light is? I read where Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I read where our Hamashiach Yahushua said, I am. That's what he said. Yeshua said, I'm the light of the world. Then how does he turn around and tell me and you that we're the light of the world? Wait a minute. How are you the light and then you make us the light? Because when we look at us and we look at you, it's a whole lot different. I can handle y'all being the light. I can handle Yeshua being the light. But it's rough on me thinking I'm light. I'm the light of the world. How come? I made you the light. You're the light of the whole world. I appreciate the compliment. Yeah, I'm not trying to be sarcastic today. I just want to. Don't you want to say that to him? Don't you want to tell your Messiah, I appreciate the compliment, but no thank you. I appreciate you looking at me and giving me the vote of confidence. I appreciate you saying, you go get him there, young man. You know, you're the light, you know, but I'm good. I'm not going to take that position. I'm not going to be that guy. What guy? The one responsible for lighting up the world so that people can see you. I'm not going to be that one. I'm not going to be that guy. No. When I hang out with my family, I just want to blend in like everybody else in the family. Don't make me the light. No. I'm incognito. When I go to the mall, don't make me the light. Just let me be like any other shopper. Don't have me lighting up nothing. If I go to the casino, I don't want to be no light in the casino. I want to go to the casino. I'm going to sit at that table and hope I get 21. And I want to pull that handle and hope I get some lucky sevens. Now get in my car and go home. Please don't make me the light of the world. I want to go to the club. Now, if I go to the club and I'm the light of the world, then everybody at the club gonna feel weird. Because I go up in here and now all the attention is on me. I might want to holler at the little shorty. But I can't because I wish y'all stayed with me. You just made me the light of the world. Oh, now that's too much responsibility. That's too much pressure. Because what about during Thanksgiving? When the rest of the family is eaten out of pots of abomination and swine is featured with all of its trimmings, and then they ask me, would you pray for the food? Now, you know good and well, as a Hebrew Israelite, I can't pray over no swine. You already know that. Matter of fact, not only can I not pray over it, I can't touch it. It's not only an abomination to eat, it's a sin to touch, you Hebrews. You don't even touch the dead carcass of a swine, which means don't even prepare swine for others. So you mean to tell me I gotta let my light shine and that I gotta be the one to say no, and then they're gonna ask me why, and then I gotta say because Torah says. Which brings me to my next point. What is light? Light is Torah.
Preach, Reverend. Come on.
If you have your Bible, well, I'm 17 in this. If you have your Bible, go to Psalm 119, verse 105. Debar, Nair, Regal, Nethiaba, or Nethiaba. Thy word, is a lamp. It's right in the Bible. So what's the lamp? The word is a lamp. The word is a light. Thy word is light. Where? To my feet. And what else? A lamp. A light. A lamp. Or unto my path. Verse 6, 106. Shabba, Kohem, Shema, Zedek, Mizpah. I have sworn, and I will perform, there it is, it, talk back to me, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. What is the word? Is light. What is the righteous judgments? Light, which means to be the light of the world, I must keep the righteous judgments of Yah, I'm about to say it, in the city and in the house. That means when I go to my cousins, I cannot hide my light under a bushel. Yah said, because I didn't light you to hide you under a bushel. The reason why I lit you is so that you will give light to, I'm about to help somebody, everybody that's in your house. Did you see that in the Bible? David defined it when he said it's about performing the righteous judgments of Yahweh. Wait a minute. If I try to be the, listen, they're going to talk about me. You just don't know. See, they everybody here, they know me. See, I'm known in the streets. I ain't the best fella. I got a bad reputation. So please don't light me in the street. Nope, I'm lighting you up. Well, at least when I get home, let me just be a normal fella in the household. Nope, you're going to be the light of your house. Okay, then. What you want me to do? I want you to shine. Wait, what you want me to do? Shine. Shine, Hebrew! Shine! You're the light. Let it shine. No, our religion is very personal and very private. You gotta keep it under. You gotta keep it hidden. You gotta keep it quiet. Well, the president just stood up on TV and lit and just lit 100 foot, I don't know how tall it was, but it looked like 100 feet, and declared Mary to all. That is that hiding his religion? Is that keeping things personal? No, he got up on the biggest stage that there is, the bully pulpit, and lit a tree, which is a religious symbol, to let the whole world know whose side he's on. He's on the side of the Pope. Every time you see the Pope dressed in white, you will know who's under his authority, because they will be dressed in black. So from now on, you just notice that. Whenever the Pope is in white, whoever is around him will be in black to symbolize the fact that they are under his authority. He just went to Turkey. Type it in. Y'all got cell phones? I mean, smartphones? When they went to get him out the car, what color was the prime minister, whoever he is, the king? What color was he wearing? When he came to America, and Obama sat down and shook hands with him, what color is he wearing? How you got to look at it? And when the Pope said, it's Christmas time in the city, then it's Christmas time in the city. And I don't care who you are, even if you're the president and you got more sense than to believe in Santa Claus, right, you're the president of the United States, you know reindeer don't fly, you know snowmen don't talk, ain't no elves up in the North Pole making little toys. Well, you know what, I don't know about that. Ain't no telling what these wicked heathens got going on up there in the snow. But you get my point, don't you? But the Messiah said, let me get out this sermon. The Messiah said, let your light shine, you Hebrews. Why? So people can see your good work. Wait a minute, hold on. The good work that people see is Torah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only good work on planet Earth. You are the only people that the world has that can see the teachings of the Most High Yah. Everybody else is watching the teachings either of the Catholic Church or of, or may I say this, or of secularized society. Let me help you see something. Let me tell you how important you are to scripture. Turn to Isaiah. And believe it or not, I'm making my way to to the end of this little message. Turn to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 21, and then we're going to read a little bit into chapter 9. Is that all right? So we're going to start in chapter 8 at the end, and then we're going to read a little bit into chapter 9, because I want you to see something. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 21 says, "And they shall pass through it." I'm reading just in the English. Kabar Kadesh Rahab Kadesh Kael Malak Elohim Panama El. It says, "And they shall pass through it, hardly be standing hungry." That means going through it, having troubles. "And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves." That means they're going to be down in the dumps. Right? "They shall fret themselves." Uh-oh. "And curse their king and their Elohim." And they'll look up. Did you see it? "There's going to come a time when my people are going to be so messed up. They're going to be going through it so deep and so heavy that all they're going to be is down in the dumps, starving to death, under all kind of pressures. It's going to get so bad that they'll start taking it out on me." Can't you hear these Hebrews? "If God was God, then how come so-and-so? If God was God, then how come so-and-so?" That's why I don't fool around with no Bible and church and no preachers, because if God was blah, 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 blah. The Hebrews are stiff-necked and full of sin. And they're starving because man don't live by physical bread alone. I've told you that, you Hebrews. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Most High Yah. And that's not original with the New Testament. That's a quote straight out of Deuteronomy.
Yes. Amen.
"And they shall," first it said they'll look up. Verse 22 says, "And they shall look unto the earth." Wait. First of all, they're going to be up looking like this, cussing. And when they feel like they can't get through that way, they'll start looking at the earth. It's right in the Bible. "And behold," what will they see? Come on, y'all, this is your history. This is your book. Don't let nobody make you ashamed of your own manuscript. It's talking about us. "And behold," trouble. What else?
Darkness.
What else?
Dimness.
Of what?
Anguish.
Dimness of anguish. And what else? "And they shall be driven like cattle into more darkness." Did you see that in your
Bible?
How in the world can we justify this push of our people further and further into the darkness of idolatry and paganism by the preacher? The biggest thing going right now in quote unquote the church is a pagan festival.
That's right.
And the Hebrews are in trouble on every hand, being shot in the streets by our own and by the government and by powers that be. And we pushing folk deeper into paganism. And it's getting worse.
Yes, it is.
We're not saying, listen, we pushing people to eat more swine. It's all right. We're pushing them to eat more roaches and rats. We're pushing them away from the laws and statutes and precepts of the Most High. Yeah. They said it'll be driven into darkness. I'm not making this up. Y'all can read, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Go to verse 9. Nevertheless, ooh, hallelujah, for the nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of nations. So he says it was bad. The folk is in a bad situation. But I see some hope. Because remember, there were some of our brethren, the tribes, who had also been afflicted by Yah. And some of them was wiped out. But this affliction, I'm not going to allow it to get to that point. I'm going to show you something. Verse 2. The people, oh my goodness, I got to get out of your way. 31 minutes is way too long. The people, verse 2. The people that walked, talk back, in darkness, have seen what? What are we talking about here? This is prophecy fulfilled. You are the light of the world. And the people, which is your people, who have been in darkness and in travail and in trouble and struggling and suffering and complaining and cussing out God and cussing out the earth, don't understand that the provision to help heal their hurt is you, Hebrew. Okay. You say, Pastor, you're taking that too far. Oh, am I? They that dwell, now listen to this. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Who is that if that ain't us? Those that are dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. If you don't think that this is the land of the shadow of death, then you've been walking around with your head in the sand. And if this was not the Shabbat, I might have said something else. This country glorifies death. This country ain't got no problem. Matter of fact, death is all around us. And I'm not talking about natural causes. I'm talking about there's a doctrine of death, a teaching of death, an atmosphere of the shadow of death, where you are afraid for your life, like Deuteronomy said, all day long. In the day, you wish it was night. At night, boy, you wish it heard forget to be morning. What about these people who living in this situation? What about these people who are living in this land? Up on, talk back. Up on who? Up on, no, it can't be up on them, because they've been wicked. They've been evil. They forgot the laws. They forgot the feast days. They don't know the language. They don't know their father's name. They don't know the son's name. They don't know the Ruach HaKodesh. They don't know the Aleph from the Bet. from the tithe. They don't know nothing. How in the world are you talking about these people? He said, no, y'all don't understand who I am. It's upon these people that's down in the valley of the shadow of death, living there, it will be to them that will have the light shined upon them. Is that the Bible? He says, thou hast multiplied the nation, not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. He goes deep in it, but what he's going to say is, right now we got a weird crowd. I know you're talking about giving them light, but you do know that the only time they really get happy is when you give them stuff. He said, yeah, but you don't understand. I got a plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to send my son. I'm coming to the mountains. Y'all didn't catch the sermon, that's it. I'm sending my son. And when he gets here, he'll be the light of the whole world. He'll be the savior of the world. Yahushua, I'm a seer. And whatever he says is what goes. And you read the manuscript and he turned around and tell his disciples, I'm leaving. He said, where you going? He said, well, I'm going. You can't come. He said, what are you talking about? I can't come. I'm going back to the Father, man. But I'm leaving you here. He said, well, what are we going to do? He said, you're going to do what I tell you. Because I'm leaving you in the world. But you're not going to be. Woo, now y'all talking back to your preacher. But you're not going to be of the world. Because I'm going to make you the salt of the earth.
Amen.
And the light. So that my people in Ferguson,
yeah,
in Los Angeles,
uh-huh,
in Detroit,
uh-huh,
in Atlanta, in San Francisco,
uh-huh,
and maybe even, I said maybe, because I've been hollering here for 5 years, and these stiff-necked Hebrews still ain't got it. Maybe Fresno. But there gotta be a light. It has to be a fulfillment of the prophecy. You are fulfilling prophecy when you carry the laws and statutes and judgments of our Most High to the city and to the house. He said, let your light, I'm closing now, I'm done. Let your light shine. Let it shine. You will light to the Gentiles, to the whole world. Because if you decide not to shine, because you're trying to save your reputation, if you decide to hide under a bushel because you don't want your cousin thinking you some kind of fanatic or weirdo, if you decide you're not going to tell it because of something personal, then you don't understand who you are and why you're here, Hebrew. You are here so that men will see your good works, but it ain't about you. They're not going to see the good works of Torah and give you glory. They will glorify the Father who is in. Talk back, somebody. Heaven. It's not about me. I had to change my attitude. I'm happy. I'm glad I'm the one. They say I'm the black sheep of the family. They have no clue. I ain't the black sheep. I'm black and I'm a sheep. But I'm the light sheep of the family. Without me in the family, my whole family might have been in pitch black darkness. But hallelujah. Anybody here, let me close this thing, ever had your power cut off? Maybe you haven't. But I have. And you go on this, when it gets, presidents get cut off at night, You go on this frantic search. What you looking for? I know I got a candle here somewhere. I know I got one in here somewhere. We might have a little one left over from little Johnny or Ray Ray birthday. I know it's a light somewhere. We get to pulling drawers out. Yeah, we run through the kitchen and we pull out what they call the junk drawer. And we dump it out on the counter and we start going through it. So I found the candle. Say, you didn't know that we got any matches in the house. Yeah, because if the power get cut off and you got an electric stove, the burners ain't gonna do you no good. You gotta have them. You gotta have a match. Am I in the house with somebody? And then, hallelujah, when you light the candle, yeah, now that one little light made a big old difference to the whole house. Yeah, and now everybody in the house, they're happy that there was just one candle burning, because that one light brought them out of darkness. And hallelujah, now they can see. No more bumping your big toe. Yeah, on table legs. Yeah, no more knocking your head against sharp corners. You got some light. I'm done. You got some light. So you got a light unto your pathway and a lamp unto your feet. Somebody in here, you're the only light. Well, I see another light. Yahushua HaMashiach. And when he lifted up, on a would-be candlestick. And there he lit up the whole wide world. And I'm glad that he didn't, say, I don't want to be looked at strange. I'm glad he put his personal feelings aside and died that we might live. And you know the record, don't you? He died on Calvary, obeying his Father's word. He died keeping Torah. He died paying the penalty for our sin. He died, to bust wide open the head of the devil. He died the light in the darkness. That's why from time to time, you'll even hear me saying, at the cross, Javon, I wish I didn't have this chest cold, but at the cross, from time to time, you'll even hear me saying, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And y'all already know what happened. The burden of my heart rolled away. It was at the cross where I first saw the light. Or was that the cross? Was that the cross? Is that the cross? I saw the light. And I came to the light. And when I came to the light, somebody told me,
You see him hanging up there? I said, yeah, I see. He said, well, he was wounded for our transgression. I said, is that right? He said, that's not all. You see them bruises? I said, yeah, I see them. He was bruised for our iniquity. He said, do you see them whips on his back? I said, yeah, I see them. He said, for the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by those stripes we're healed. He died, but death couldn't hold him. He was buried, but the grave, death couldn't kill him, the grave couldn't hold him. He got up and he told you, now you the light of the world. There's a time for you to be wounded for our people's transgression. You're the light now. You're gonna have to pick up your cross. You're gonna be called crazy and fanatic. And some of us like me, I told you I might not make it to the end with you, my friend. Because I'm on the front line. I got sense. I know the front line means you get killed first. That ain't no secret. But I'm on the front line. But if it means one more Hebrew seeing the light and coming out of that darkness into the light, it'll be worth it all. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah.